Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. परमहंस त्रिभुजाचार्य स्तोत्र शत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी व्यक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीबीडी फाउंडर आचार्य सेवर ऑफ द होल यूनिवर्स जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस त्रिभुजाचार्य स्तोत्र शत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। जय श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्ट दास रघुनाथ शत गोस्वामी प्रभुगण की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण चंद्र गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय। श्री क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। द्वारिका धाम की जय। गंगा माय की जय। जमुना माय की जय। कावेरी माय की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। नताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हरे कृष्णा। ऑल ग्लोरीज एंड ग्लोरीज एंड ग्लोरीज एंड ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। Hare Krishna, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3 and text number 36 and 37. So we will start with 36 and then proceed to 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमति रजे नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतं सेवय भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी मूकं करोति वाचालं तमङ्गुलं गायत्रीं क्लीं यत्कृपासमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदेवतारिणं परमानन्दं माधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं ॐ तत्सत्। टेक्स्ट नंबर 36 ऑफ चैप्टर 3 टाइटल कर्म योग। अर्जुन उवाच अथ केना प्रयोक्तो मां पापं चरन्ति पुरुषा अनिच्छमपि वर्षेया बलात् इव नियोजिता। अर्जुन उवाच अथाकेना प्रयुक्तो याम पापम चरति पुरुषः अनिचम अपि वरिष्ठेया बलात् इव निजोतना। अर्जुन उवाच अथाकेना प्रयुक्तो याम पापम चरति पुरुषः अनिचम अपि वरिष्ठेया बलात् इव नियोजितः। What to what translation to text 36? Arjuna vacha. Arjuna said, "Atha then kena by what prayukta impelled I am one papam since charati does purushaha a man anichan without desiring api although varshneya or descendants of Rishni." Bala by force, Iva as if, Niyojita engaged. Translation: Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful activities, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport: A living entity as a part and parcel of Supreme is originally spiritual, pure, free and free from all material contaminations. Therefore, by nature, he is not subject to sinful, he is not subject to sins of material world. But when he is in contact with the material nature, he acts in many sinful ways without hesitation and sometimes even against his will. As such, Arjuna's questions to Krishna is very sanguine. As to the perverted nature of living entities, although the living entity sometimes does not want to act in sin, he is still forced to act. Sinful actions are not, however, impelled by sin super soul within, but are due to another cause, as explained by the Lord in the next verse. Text number 37. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. कामयेश क्रोधयेश रजोगुणा समुद्भवा महासानो महापापा विद्ययेनम इहावैराम। श्री भगवान उवाच कामयेश क्रोधयेश रजोगुणा समुद्भवा महासानो महापापम विद्ययेनम इहावैराम। श्री भगवान उवाच कामयेश क्रोधयेश रजोगुणा समुद्भवा महासानो महापाप्मा विद्ययेनम इहाविराम। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। श्री भगवान उवाच द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड कामः लस्ट ईशा दिस क्रोधा राथ ईशा दिस रजोगुणा द मोड ऑफ पैशन Samudbhava, born of, Mahashna, all-devouring, Mahapapma, greatly sinful, Vidhi, known, Enam, this, Iha, in the material world, Varyam, greatest anini. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jaya Shri Prabhupada. Translation to text 37, the Supreme Personality of God had said, It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transforms into wrath, and which is all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. Purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust. As milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity. And it is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other qualities. If therefore the modes of passion, instead of being degraded into mode of ignorance, is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. The Supreme Personality of God had expanded Himself into many of His ever-increasing spiritual bliss, and the living entities are part and parcel of His spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but they misuse, but by misuse of this their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned souls to fulfill their lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. The inquiry is beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, wherein it is said, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire into the Supreme, and the Supreme is defined as, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Janmadi Asyeto Yunte Tatascha. The origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman, and therefore the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or into other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. Hanuman, the great servitor of Lord Rama, exhibited his wrath by burning the golden city of Ramana. But by doing so, he became the greatest devotee of the Lord. Here also in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord induces Arjuna to engage his wrath upon the enemies for satisfaction of the Lord. Therefore, lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, become our friend instead of our enemies. Om Tat Sat Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Tamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we continue our reading from Bhagavad Gita. Today we are reading from the third chapter, and it's very nicely put across as we progress in reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. As we see initially, the Lord and Arjuna were on the battlefield, and Arjuna actually requests the Lord to take the chariot to the middle of the war zone, and he wants to observe the armies. He wants to see who are all available there and who wants to fight against him. Or more precisely, Arjuna says who is on the side of Dharma and who is not on the side of Dharma. Then followed by, he is perplexed, and Krishna then gives him his consolidance. Krishna then gives him the clear guidance as to how he needs to progress. And in the next chapter, the contents of the Gita are summarized. And in the current chapter that we are reading, it is from Karma Yoga, and Krishna gives him guidelines as to what one needs to follow as a part of his karma. So, here in this particular two verses that we see, the 36th verse, Arjuna is asking a question. And you know, he's asking what one impulse to sinful activities, and he's very clearly saying that it is even unwillingly, and he's also very clearly indicating, saying that it is by force. And in the following verse, Krishna answers this question of Arjuna, and he says it is only by lust that, you know, all that happens is because of lust. So lust is the main cause of everything. So here today, what we're going to discuss is, what is lust? How do we really take care of lust? And well, as we go forward in our discussion, I would like to discuss on, we divide our discussion into origin of lust, where does it come from, its development in the heart, how does it develop in the heart, and consequences of the lust, both in personal life as well as in social life, or in the life of social life, and its implication in the social life, and what is its treatment. Yeah, so what is lust? Lust is actually what forces a person to act even against his own will. Even if he is desiring not to do something wrong, he is forced to do something wrong. That is called lust. And it's called veg. Veg is the other form it is known as, the other word for force. And it can be compared, nobody can stop it. Veg cannot be stopped, or lust cannot be stopped, or forces cannot be stopped. It is similar to the evacuation, you know, urge to evacuate. It's a very strong force, though somebody may want not to evacuate, but then he'll have to evacuate. And in Parikshit Maharaj's question, in the starting of the sixth canto, first chapter of sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is asking how a person is forced to act sinfully. He says it is that a person is actually helpless. He is not able to help. He is vivash. This particular word is used by Parikshit Maharaj there. Says he is vivash. And he is helpless, not able to do anything. Similarly, Uddhav is asking in the 11th canto, saying that it is very interesting to understand the lust. The material life is full of trouble. And in this trouble, we see that this lust is like acting like a dog or an ass. See, we all know that when a dog sees some good food and it is also watched by somebody else, he still goes there and tries to eat something while he is hungry. But then he is beaten by the person who is waiting there or who is seeing this happening. Similarly, the desire for sex by a dog goes to a she-dog. The she-dog actually barks at him, bites at him, shows the teeth, shows the claws, at times even, you know, hits the male dog with the claws and bites with the sharp teeth. But still, the dog is not able to help. This is the vivashness, or this is the veg that is there. Similarly, an ass that we take, a donkey, for a small bunch of green grass, he works really hard. And for the desire of sex life, he goes to a female donkey and gets hit on the face, gets jumped on the face, but still continues to do so. So it is a force, it is an urge, it is a very strong force. So lust is a very, very strong force which we cannot avoid. And we are all forced in our life also to perform the sinful activities. Very clearly, it's like a, you know, there's a student who's sitting in a room preparing for his exams. And in the adjacent room, there's a cricket match which is going on. And he's wanting to study, he's wanting to focus on his exams. But because the cricket match is going on in the next room, and there's a loud shout and scream because the cricketer has hit a six, he gets attached to it. He gets entangled into it, and he says, okay, let me go and see probably one ball. Let me watch, you know, a couple of balls. Let me watch one over. And then he says, let me watch one, you know, one side of it, one side playing. And then he finally so gets entangled that he sees the whole match. Not only sees the whole match, even the commentaries or the happenings after the post-match, the the post-mortem they call it as, or the post-match comments. He completes that and comes back. Whereas he never wanted to see the match. He was very much interested in doing his work. He was very much interested in studying. But this force which took him there to see one ball, three balls, one over, one side, and he watches the whole match. Likewise, we see in our material life also, there's a group of men who are sitting and talking to each other, and they see a scantily dressed woman passing by, and the whole focus goes on that. Though none of them actually desired, none of them really wanted to do it, but then it is the force which is actually taking them. They cannot resist it. Likewise, we see that there are people who are attached, too much attached to food, too much attached to eating pan masala or smoking or drinking. Though they decide that no, it is not good for our health. Overeating is not good for our health. Eating pan masala or chewing of pan masala is not good for health. But still they are not able to resist. They cannot resist the food. They cannot resist the pan masala. They have to go towards it. So Krishna calls this as lust. This is actually love, but it is not in the pure form, that is lust. So if you see the wording, lust is actually the perverted reflection. It's the perverted action of love. That is lust. As living entities, we are always looking for pleasure in something. Yeah, none of us would want not to have pleasure. All of us want to have pleasure. And all of us want to see something beautiful. And it is also said that we cannot survive without pleasure. So pleasure is a part of our life. If somebody says, no, I don't want to have any pleasure, I don't want to, enjoy. No, it is not possible. That person may not really be able to survive. He may not be able to live a life. So pleasure is a part of a human being's life. And when somebody looks at pleasure, it should be seen as a service to Krishna or guided towards Krishna. That's where it actually converts into love rather than lust. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, the four Kumaras are asking Brahma as to how the sense objects come in contact with the mind. Well, here Lord Brahma, who is the creator of the universe, also did not know the answer to this. He was not able to answer this question of four Kumaras saying that how the sense object come in contact with the mind. So the Lord comes to answer this question of four Kumaras in the form of Hamsa Avatar. And he says this sense objects are constantly flowing in the mind like a stream. And the sense objects are entering our mind only from the various activities like the eyes. So the eyes actually see the beautiful objects. The ears, they hear the beautiful music. The nose, they smell nice fragrance. And likewise, from the other senses, it is a stream which is entering into our mind. For example, if we see something, that object actually is there in front of our eyes for a little while, but vanishes after a little while. But still, because we have captured that object into our eyes and into our mind, through the eyes we have captured that object, it still stays on our mind. Like a beautiful car, if it is going on a road and you happen to pass by and see that beautiful car, and after coming home also you still realize, oh, that was a beautiful car, red color car, with so many features and all that. Though the mind is actually not present at that particular point of time with the sense object, but because it is captured through the eyes into the mind, we derive pleasure out of that, because the mind has captured that. It's something similar to a camera capturing an image. You may not remember the image very well, but only when you look at the picture, you remember the image, saying that, yes, this is where this place was. This is where we had gone. This is when we had gone. So likewise, the mind actually captures. But despite the object not being in front of me or being in front of us, it still stays in our mind. It is something similar like
the experience of hearing, or by seeing, the impression stays in our mind and it actually rewinds in place, you know. It is actually captured, and whenever, like a tape recorder, those of you who have used the tape recorder in the earlier days, you could rewind a little bit and then again go back. Now also you can do it on your mobile phones or any of those gadgets. We can go back a little bit and see. So that's the way that it works, saying that it is actually rewind and then play. And if we do a particular activity, likewise, it stays in our mind. Likewise, in a puddle of water, you know, there's a water which is in a puddle, and there are various channels that, you know, if you can move them out, the biggest channel actually gets the maximum water. Likewise, whenever we are thinking of something which has the biggest channel, it always stays in our mind. So the puddle of water which is there, the water actually gets driven into the biggest channel which we have dug up. So in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, text number 62, Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishwanupumsa Sangasthu Supajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha Kamat Kroha Jyate. The translation of this shloka says, while contemplating the object of the senses, a person develops attachment for it. Yeah? Krishna is making it very clear, saying that while we contemplate the object of the senses, while we are thinking about it, while we are contemplating, while we are thinking on the lines of the sense object, a person develops attachment to that object. And then from such object, the lust develops, and from lust, anger arises. So it is not only that lust is formed and then there's nothing which happens. And when lust is unfulfilled, it arises as anger. So a simple example can be taken, saying that our neighbor has a beautiful car. And then when you see the car, you have the desire. You actually get attached to that car and then you desire to have that car. And that's where your lust actually conquers. You actually start getting lusty about the car. So let me, you know, all of us had this impression some time back, including me, saying that lust is only regarding sex desire. No, lust can be anything. Lust can be a part of asking for a sense object or a sense thing or anything. So it is not only related to the desire of the opposite sex. No. So here in this case where we were discussing about a car, the neighbor having a car, then we actually look at the car, we get attached to the car, we desire for the car, and then that's where the lust grows. And when we are not able to fulfill that lust, the lust goes into krodha and samoha, and then we become victim of the anger. And when we don't get, or when we don't own this car, we actually become very, very angry. And the anger leads to many kind of crimes. We have seen, we've heard this very popularly, saying that the boy, you know, I'm just referring to a boy who looks at a phone of another friend, doesn't get to, you know, buy that phone because he is not affordable, and that lust turns into krodha, and the krodha turns into anger, and he actually kills the boy who's owning the phone just for the sake of using the phone. Okay, so the lust is growing, the consequences of lust is growing, both in the personal life as well as in the social life. So lust actually creates invisible bond. You will not be able to see, you cannot really see this bond which the lust is creating. It creates an invisible bond and then it blinds us. We are completely blind. We can do anything for that lust to be completed. It actually blinds us in the material world. Because of the happiness we enjoy, and then we become forgetful of the Lord and think that we are going to be there eternally. We are currently enjoying the material world because the Lord has given us a beautiful body. He has given us knowledge. He has given us the look. He has given us the vocabulary. He has given us all the things that we can be comfortable with: a good house, a good family, a good car, a good job, various other things. And we are actually enjoying this happiness. And we in turn become forgetful of the Lord. And when we become forgetful of the Lord, we think that we are going to be here eternally. We have never thought in that happiness, saying that we are going to go away from this material. One day we have to leave this body. This is the main cause which is there, which needs to be really looked at. Krishna is very clearly pointing at this point of it, saying that, you know, we think that we are going to be eternally in this world. And then a lot of other things happen. Like I discussed earlier, the crimes, social levels like prestige, material facilities. And then we decide not to have any responsibility for the future generation or the society. So that's the consequences of the lust. When lust comes in, we forget everything else. We are only thinking of I, me, myself. What can I get for myself? What am I going to do for myself? How is it going to benefit me? And nothing beyond that. And the byproduct of lust is the anger. And then because of the anger, a lot of crimes are committed. And this unfulfilled lust actually leads to all the problems. Srila Prabhupada explains that lust is the greatest. Srila Prabhupada made the statement very clearly. Srila Prabhupada made this statement very, very clearly, saying that lust is the greatest enemy of human beings. And this is because of the lust that we forget our relationship with Krishna and we think that we are going to be eternally available here. Now the next point is, how do we treat lust? When we treat lust, anger by default is treated. Or we can even have the conversation on how do we treat lust as well as anger. Well, both of them are born out of mode of passion, lust and anger. So we need to be in the modes of goodness or pure goodness. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 28 and 40th verse, it is said that these inauspicious disturbances can be gradually removed by constant remembrance of me. Krishna is saying this. These inauspicious disturbances can be gradually removed by constantly remembrance of me, by congregation, hearing and chanting of my holy name, or by following the footsteps of the great masters of yoga. The verse goes like this. Kamschin maman yudena nama sankirtanabhi yogeshwara nyunyatyacha hanyat ashudandansani. And the purport reads that according to Sridhar Goswami, by meditating on the Supreme Lord, one can overcome the lust and the other mental disturbances. And by following on the footsteps of the great transcendentalist, one can overcome hypocrisy, false pride and other types of mental imbalances. So this is the meditation. This is the meditation that one needs to really have, saying that if I have to get out of the lusty desires or the anger, all those disturbances can be gradually removed by constantly remembering the name of the Lord, constantly meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says, by meditating on me and chanting the holy name, you can remove this. If we see, what is lust? Lust is the result of Cupid. Cupid is Madana and Krishna is Madana Mohana. Krishna actually enchants even the Cupid. So Krishna can capture this Cupid. There's absolutely no problem. If we serve Krishna, if we follow the instructions of the Acharyas, we can easily capture the lust. In Vrindavan, there's a place called Madanter. I'm sure some of you have visited this place. Madanter is a place which actually belongs to Cupid. And this Cupid also lost its charm when Krishna was there at Madanter. He also captured, he enchanted the Cupid and the Cupid lost all its charm. So to meditate on Krishna is the best way to get out of this lust. Acharyas also say, we have to meditate on the eyebrows of Krishna, on the eyebrows. If we've all heard, Cupid is actually, you know, taking the arrow and shooting us with his arrow. And Krishna's eyes, if we really look at, or if we meditate on Krishna's eyes, Krishna's arrow enters our heart. And then we can be free from lust or the mundane desires of this world. In Nectar of Instructions, also Srila Prabhupada reminds us that lust can be utilized by creating or by bringing in Krishna conscious children. So, Krishna says, Dharma Vidyanto Kamosmi. Procreation in the service of Krishna is a proper dharma. And Srila Prabhupada also, as I said earlier in Nectar of Instruction, reminds us that lust can be utilized to create or to bring in Krishna conscious children. And when we do this, if we use this in the service of Krishna, then the lust is gone. We move from the mode of passion into mode of goodness. How anger can be utilized in the service of the Lord? Many of us, talk about this. You know, I get angry, I cannot control my anger. If I lose my temper, nothing can stop me. These are common statements that we make. But here in the purport, we see very clearly that how anger can also be utilized in the service of the Lord. There are two examples which are given. One is the example of Arjuna. Arjuna, as a service to Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, fought like a real warrior, never stopping, never looking at anything. He killed thousands and thousands of people. But then he did this as a part of service, not as a part of his own sense gratification, not to satisfy his senses. Secondly, we see the example of Hanuman. Hanuman was actually, when he goes into Lanka and finds Mother Sita, and then after his meeting, he was captured by the army of Ravana. And when he is taken into Ravana's palace, before that, Hanuman is taunted, saying that you are an animal, you are this, you are that, he's never worried about all those comments that people are making towards Hanuman. But the moment somebody made a comment on his spiritual master or on Lord Ramachandra, he got really annoyed. When somebody said that you are eating only fruits, living in the forest, you are an animal, so is your master Lord Ramachandra, who is also living in the forest, whose wife is captured. So, there are two things that we have to really learn from this. First and foremost, if somebody chastises us or uses lowly words or insults us, we should not really feel bad. But if somebody chastises or uses lowly words for a Vaishnava or he condemns a Vaishnava, we should not tolerate that. Hanuman was a clear example of this. Till the time that people were only taunting him as an animal and, various other things that the people of Lanka were telling him, he was not worried. But the moment that somebody told him that your master is also like this, he really got annoyed. And his anger saw no limitation and he burnt the whole city of Lanka. He turned the whole city of Lanka into ashes, the golden city into ashes. So anger can be utilized in the service of the Lord as well. And as we see, lust is the perverted form of love. So we can try to utilize the same in the service of Krishna. How can we utilize it in the service of Krishna? All our senses, starting with our eyes, we can think of seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. We can capture the beautiful form of Krishna. We can fill our heart by seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. So many of the devotees who attend the morning Mangalarti and the Darshanarti, they pray so intensely to the Lord and they actually capture the Lord through their eyes and keep him in the heart so that their whole day actually is gone in remembrance of the Lord. We should use our hands to decorate the temple of the Lord, clean the temple of the Lord, make various nice garlands. We can use our hands to worship the Lord. We can use our hands for cooking, for mothers, for matajis who are great cooks. They can use their hands in the service of the Lord by cooking nice items to offer it to Krishna. We can use our legs to go to holy dham, go to the temple. We can use our tongue to glorify the Lord, chant the holy name of the Lord. And finally, all of us eat prasadam. That's through our tongue. Srila Prabhupada also made the statement saying the treatment of lust is to eat food cooked by devotees. So naturally, food cooked by non-devotees is not eaten. It is not advisable to eat the food cooked by non-devotees and things which are not offered to the Lord. So we should always eat the food cooked by devotees which is offered to the Lord. Likewise, our ears can hear Harikatha. our nose to smell the Mahaprasad garland, the Tulsi garlands of the Lord. Let's think of an exercise. Imagine that if we are attacked by an object. Yeah, this is something very simple exercise. All of us can, you know, do it while sitting at our homes. Look at a car, or probably some of you can remember a two-wheeler that some of us must have bought, say 20 years, 35 years. Just capture that object and put it in your mind and fast forward it. Yeah, or you can even put a house, you know, you built a new house or you saw a house, put it in your mind, put it as an object and fast forward for 30 years, 35 years. So if you see the material objects, if we fast forward for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, they actually deteriorate or degenerate. The material objects are full of illusion. If you think that there's a beautiful car that we buy or a beautiful house that we buy today, it is not going to be permanent. Even a beautiful person in your life, maybe a beautiful thing in our life, they also turn or they deteriorate or they degenerate over a period of time. It is only Krishna which is permanent. So this exercise can actually prove that, you know, whatever we have is not going to last long, and it's not going to last long enough, which is eternal. It is only Krishna which is eternal and nothing else is eternal or permanent. And one becomes a devotee the moment he touches the objects of Krishna. Yeah. So whatever objects that we are seeing around, offer it to Krishna, it becomes Krishna's object, and then we all become devotees. So very clearly Krishna in this verse says that it is because of the lust alone that we get into this trouble, and the lust can be captured and turned around into love for the service of the Lord, then our life will be very successful. I'll read the translation once again for the benefit of all the devotees. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring sinful enemy of the world." At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that if lust and wrath, when they are employed in Krishna consciousness, they become our friends instead of our enemies. So the learning is very clear, saying that it is not possible that one may not have lust, but lust needs to be turned into service of Krishna, or vath needs to be turned into service of Krishna, or anger needs to be in the service of, turned into service of Krishna, and then he or she can become our mindful friend and help us in our Krishna conscious life. So we will end here. If there are any questions, I would love to answer them, or if there are any comments, I am happy to take them.
Wonderful class, Prabhuji. A lot of insight on the lust and how to conquer it, why it gets generated, how to conquer it, and how it gets converted to anger. And also what Prabhupada mentioned on how to direct this lust in service of Krishna so that it gets purified to become our friend rather than enemy. Wonderful class, Prabhuji. So anybody has any questions?
Well, if we don't have any questions, I thought we should take 1 or 2 minutes of time, the wonderful time that we have today as devotees, to pray for the departed soul. Our Premadatta Prabhu lost his father-in-law, which is sad. He was not doing very well, and Prabhu had sent out a message to me also earlier in the last week, and we had spoken about him. So we should pray from the bottom of our heart that there's a wonderful devotee who's lost their near dear ones, and we pray at the lotus feet of the Lord that may he be granted the service at the lotus feet of the Lord. Well, it is very important for all of us to understand that one becomes devotee in the family, seven generations up and seven generations down, everybody is liberated. So there is no question of that person taking birth again in the material world and suffering the threefold miseries of the material world. But nevertheless, as devotees, we have to also pray at the lotus feet of the Lord and request Him, saying that may He be granted shelter at His lotus feet. So let's collectively chant 8 times the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for Mataji's father, who left his body some time back, and pray to our own Aradhya Dev, saying that please grant him eternal service at the lotus feet of the Lord. So let's chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 8 times. We will chant jointly. If you would like to put on your mics, you can put on, or if you would like to still continue in mute, you can continue. Either way, whatever you find convenient, we will be happy. And let's chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for him. Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Nandacharya Prabhu, can we close if it is okay, or if is there anything else that we continue?
If no questions, then we can close, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much.
I'll just ask again. Yeah, anybody has any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I'm not sure whether correct question or not, but there should be some difference of in line between greed and lust. So, how can we differentiate between greed and lust?
Very fine line which defines between greed. Greed is desiring more than what we should have is greed. So if I am supposed to fulfill my family requirements with, say, 10,000 rupees a month, but if I am desiring 1 lakh of rupees a month, not for the service of the Lord, but again for my own sense gratification, that becomes greed. And greed over a period of time is looked into accumulating much more than what I desire. So in our Shastras, there are very clear instructions as to what one should do out of his earnings, or what one should do out of their wealth that they have. There is certain percentage of the wealth that should go into service of the Lord. Certain percentage of the wealth should go into his health care needs. Certain percentage of the money should go into his daily needs, and a small percentage for any emergencies that one might have. But what happens is, when I start accumulating everything, or when I think that no, I should get more, I should get more, I should get more, that is the greed that creeps into one. And greed also is a hurdle in Krishna consciousness or in spiritual life. So the less that we have, the better it is what one should be satisfied. We should be satisfied with whatever Krishna is giving us. Krishna knows as a Supreme Father as to what is my requirement more than what I know. Krishna knows what is going to be my future emergencies, and He gives me preparations for my future emergencies that I may have. He makes that plan maybe unknowingly to us. Not maybe, it is definitely unknowing to us. We are nowhere in comparison to Krishna. So He makes all our plans very, very realistic. But when one desires to do much more than what is required for his personal maintenance, that is greed. And lust, again, when certain things are not fulfilled, it turns into anger. Greed also similarly leads into anger when we are not able to achieve the desired success. So there's a very fine line which actually distinguishes between the greed and the lust.
Yes, Guruji. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes, thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to all devotees. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर अटेंडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग क्लास एंड गिविंग मी एनलाइटनमेंट गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक एंड गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू रीड श्रीमद् भागवतम एंड स्पीक टू यू श्रीमद् भगवद गीता एंड स्पीक टू यू अबाउट इट विशिंग यू ऑल अ वंडरफुल कृष्ण कॉन्शियस डे एंड अ कृष्ण कॉन्शियस 2021, though it's not a new year as far as we are concerned, for us it's the Gaurabdha, it is the Gaur Purnima which begins, and that's the new year that we consider as per the Vedic this one. But as per the English calendar, it is a new year, so we can always wish that this 2021, the year 2021 calendar year, may bring in a lot of spirituality to all the devotees around, and then may we fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas and the Guru Parampara. If you see any of the acharyas, they all want us to preach. They all want us to go out and speak about the holy name. They all want us to make devotees, including Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jare dekho, tare kaho, Krishna Upadesh. He wanted everybody to preach this holy name of the Lord, preach and chant the holy name of the Lord. And likewise, all of our acharyas, may be it Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, maybe Bhakti Vinod Thakur, maybe Shri Prabhupada, and the acharyas, the current acharyas in our parampara. So let's imbibe that little small thing that has been given to us. Let put in whatever little effort that we can put, whatever little bit contribution that we can make to furthering of this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that we can bring in a lot of this fallen souls, lot of these souls who are suffering in this material world. A Vaishnava is one who cannot see the distress of others or the trouble of others. So let's try to become in some way or the other a little considerate about these fallen souls and bring them out of this material world, bring them out of this trouble that they are going through the material world. Let's take that as probably a resolution for us so that we can preach the holy name of the Lord. At least if I can speak to one person in a day about Krishna consciousness, I am putting in my efforts. I am pleasing the Guru Parampara, I am pleasing the Vaishnavas, I am pleasing Srila Prabhupada, I am pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and ultimately while pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am also pleasing Radharani and Krishna, and I am getting their mercy. So please take this up and try and speak about Krishna consciousness at least to a few people every day. And that is the perfection of our life. There's nothing beyond this as perfection of life for all of us. And we are lucky to have the acharyas who have given us this wonderful opportunity to be a part of the movement. Despite all the shortcomings, despite not being qualified to be in the movement, they've allowed us to be in the movement. That's their causeless mercy. So let's make the best use of this causeless mercy and turn the bad situation of the material world into the best possible situation by preaching the holy name of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Guruji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.